Benjamin Franklin is credited as saying it is easier to prevent bad habits than to break them. I don't know about preventing them, since many of our habits and mindsets are being formed as early as our childhood, but I do know that breaking bad habits has been near impossible for me. Initially, because I'm such a busy person and a Pollyanna, I often don't even recognize them, or maybe I defend them away, but also because I possess the willpower and self-discipline of a peanut. But my oh so fun and enlightening conversation with Jody Allen on today's episode number 39 actually gives me hope. Maybe there's a more practical way that involves trading bad habits for better ones. Listen in. You're listening to The Unperfect Podcast, and I'm your host, Shelley Sneed. It is my desire to help you see glimpses of God's glory among the imperfections of your life. If you've ever struggled with fully living the life you've been dealt, welcome to humanity. And you are not alone. Hope and most likely a bit of humor are coming up. Today, I am so excited to welcome Jody Allen on the show. She is a mom, a writer, a speaker, and a ministry leader, and she serves on staff as the director of women's ministry and first impressions at her church and is in the process of publishing her first book. She is mom to 20-year-old college-age twins and a geriatric black lab. Jody enjoys Sunday afternoon naps, a good laugh, and mint chocolate chip ice cream. She's a fan of home-cooked meals that someone else cooks. And most days, you can find her procrastinating or still trying to master the skill of parking her car straight. So, hey, Jody, welcome to the show.
Hi, Shelley. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So even if I didn't know you well, which I do, just by reading your bio, I would know that you are my people because all of that just resonates. The procrastinating, the parking straight. And I'm going to tell you what, all this rain that we've had, my puppy's been driving us bananas, and so part of me is wishing he were in his geriatric days. That's a terrible thing to say. Don't tell him I said that. Okay, we are going to get started here in just a minute with what we're actually going to talk about. But first, we're going to play a little game, because I did this with my last guest, and we just had a lot of fun with it.
Well, I love games.
Good. Yay. I figured you did. So I'm going to give you two things to choose from, this or that. And you tell me which one you would choose or prefer. First one, sushi or tacos?
Oh, easy. Tacos.
I don't even eat sushi.
I don't like sushi. Who eats sushi? I'm sure there are people. Tacos every day.
There are people that eat sushi. I am not one of them. I like my fish cooked. Yep. Okay. Yeah, I'm on the same page with you. In fact, I'm pretty sure I could eat queso 3 meals a day and be happy. Like, I would never need another food group.
There's protein in it, Shelley, so I think you could get
there
by with
is.
That.
There is. Yeah. All right. The next one is cardio or strength training?
Oh, strength training. Yes, for sure.
Okay.
I am not interested in running. I love to exercise, but I'm not interested in running. None of those things. Just give me some weights. Give me some weights.
Okay. I like that. I'm not interested in doing either. But I make myself walk because I do want to be able to play with my grandchildren one day. Next one, beach or mountains?
Ooh, Shelley, that's a tough one. I know you're in the mountains. I do love the mountains because it's cooler. But I love the beach because the sound of the waves. I used to think I was a beach person, but now that I'm older, I think I'm going to go with the mountains, Shelley.
Wow. Okay. I do think there's something about aging because I'm a beach person. Like you said, you're in the mountains. We're only in the mountains because my husband loves the mountains. although I do love the Blue Ridge Mountains. I feel like they're kind of you're not in Colorado stuck in snow
right.
8 months of the year, but I love my toes in the sand, but I am getting to where I don't want to be too cold and I don't want to be too hot. Like,
yeah, I'm a fair weathered kind of girl.
Yes. Okay, here is my last one. Speeding ticket or parking ticket? But I'm going to say, are you more likely to get a speeding ticket or a parking ticket?
Well.
And if we need to edit this out for the people that you
that you minister to and lead, we can.
Well, back in the day, I had my share of speeding tickets. I have never had a parking ticket. Well, only because when I was in college, they came and got me and said, "Hey, they're towing your car." I was able to talk them out of taking my car. So I never actually had a parking ticket because I stopped the tow truck. I'm kind of a rule follower, so I'm not going to probably park where I'm not supposed to park. And speeding, so it's probably, I'm going to have to go with speeding ticket because sometimes you just got to get there.
Right. I love it. And I was thinking to myself, you seem like a rule follower. You probably wouldn't get a parking ticket. And I would be like, I think I can scoot in there and it will look like a place and whatever. But I'm probably more likely to get a speeding ticket because I'm so ADD, I don't pay attention to how fast I'm going. So it's the times I've gotten speeding tickets, I have not been in a hurry. Let's just say that. It's sad, but that is how it goes for me. Okay, so today you have some great advice for us about trading one thing, like a pattern or a struggle or behavior or mindset, for something else. So before we jump into this, can you just give us maybe a little backstory or how you came up with this idea?
Well, the idea of trading one thing for another really just came from, it kind of developed out of a difficult season in my life. My ex-husband's pornography addiction had surfaced, and which led to separation, eventually divorce. And while we were living in the middle of that, I made a conscious decision that for 1 hour every week, my kids and me were just going to put that heartache on hold and we were just going to laugh. So for almost 2 years, you could find us sitting in the same place, and that was at home on the couch for an hour watching America's Funniest Home Videos. And so that idea of just trading one thing another and being intentional about it just kind of surfaced when we were walking through that difficult season.
We love America's Funniest Home Videos at our house. My kids and I used to watch those all the time and just laugh till we were crying.
It's so fun. They would scurry around and be in their pajamas beforehand, and we would make lunches during the commercials, and then we would just laugh and they would be ready for bed.
And I love that you made that such an intentional choice. Trading one thing for another is about creating change in our lives, really. So give us some examples of trades that you've made in your own life that might be helpful to us.
Well, long before pornography shook up my family, I had a method of dealing with things that really had served me well for years. When something difficult happened in my life, I was quick to just minimize it because somebody really always had it worse than me. And that's a true statement, because there are people all around us that have more difficult circumstances than us. So reminding myself of other people's pain, it seemed like a healthy way to cope. So because it was good to have perspective. But just because our pain doesn't appear as painful or as tragic as somebody else's doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt. So we don't need to dwell on our heartache, but we definitely have to acknowledge our pain as just that. It's painful. It's painful. So I had to trade minimizing for acknowledging, because when we minimize our hurt, it really makes us appear strong and it makes us appear self-reliant. And people maybe even comment on our strength. And it might be legit, or it might just be an outer facade of minimized pain. And also too, when we minimize what breaks our hearts, really we're just avoiding pain. And when we diminish the sad things in our lives, we can easily talk ourselves out of getting the help that we need. And when we sweep that hurt under the rug, it really just won't serve us well in the long run. When we stoically say, "Oh, I'm fine, I'm going to be fine," we might wake up one day and find ourselves consumed with bitterness. And then we would just be trading the heartache for bitterness. And that's really not the kind of trade that we want to make. So that is one trade that I had to make in my life.
Absolutely. And I was just thinking of that verse it's in Proverbs, that says, "Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and each heart knows its own bitterness." I remember thinking, even if my pain isn't as bad as someone else's, or it doesn't seem like it works comparing wise, that like each heart knows the maximum of its own grief.
Right.
I don't know. You're going to feel it, like you were saying, if that makes sense. I'm really bad about just covering up and going on, like not taking the time to kind of grieve over something or sit in it long enough, because I don't like to sit in hard stuff. I like to just move on to the
the good stuff. And I think also too, when we label pain on a scale from like bad to unbearable for the sake of comparison, it really doesn't help us, because God has called us to compassion. He has not called us to comparison. And when it comes to personal pain, there really is no competition. We are called to share our burdens with one another, not compare our burdens to one another. Mm.
Yeah. All right. So you say there are four steps to actually making a change, making a trade in our life. Can you walk us through each one of these steps or stages?
Sure. Well, I don't pretend to know all there is about that. And there are probably other ways to make change, but this is just one way to kind of get us thinking about how we can move forward and create change in our lives. And really, I feel like the first step for us is to acknowledge. And that's the first step for anybody, any change in their lives, is just acknowledging, because we cannot change what we are unwilling to acknowledge. But I think a lot of times maybe we don't know what we might need to change, and we can ask ourselves some questions to maybe get to some of those answers. And one is, if somebody that is trustworthy in our life, if they keep telling us the same thing over and over, then maybe we should listen to that. If they keep telling us that we're short-tempered, or that we make immature decisions in a relationship, or that we have an unhealthy habit, then it might be time to listen to that. Or if we are still having that same struggle that we had 3 years ago, or 4 years ago, or 5 years ago, it might be time to take that seriously. Or if we are consistently struggling with defeat in the same area, it might be time for a change. But Shelley, sometimes we don't know what we need to change, and those answers are not so obvious. I think that's when we really just have to get alone with the Lord and spend a weekend away, or an afternoon, or just a couple hours, and spend some time with Him. And when we figure out what that change is, that one change, because we probably don't need to acknowledge 10 changes at one time, because we can't change all those things at one time, I think it's important that we just own it. We just need to own it. We don't need to tolerate it, or we don't need to rationalize it, or we don't need to minimize it, because that isn't going to help, because we really would only be lying to ourselves. And Jesus tells us in John 8:32, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So we have to know the truth. Now, it might hurt first, but we do have to acknowledge it before we can change it.
Sure. I love what you're saying about that, because I think we often don't know our weaknesses. And I don't know, it may just be my personality type. Like, I'm a glass is always half full, and you know, I tell everyone I was raised by Mary Poppins, and that's just kind of how I've lived my life. But I also love what you said about asking someone trustworthy, because the person that could probably tell me the things in my life that need to change is my husband. You know, Art is very wise.
Very.
But I can't tell you how many times that I've gone to a doctor or to talk to a friend, and I come home and go, I've got to do this because they said, and he's like, okay. So I've been telling you for the past 30 years that you might want to try, but you had to go, you know, pay money and hear it from someone.
Right. We always need somebody else to tell us. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. But I also get the same struggles over and over again, because I'm so hard-headed and stubborn, and probably I don't pay attention to myself enough, or don't ask the Lord enough. You know, it's usually when I've hit my head against the same brick wall 1,000 times is when I go, okay, maybe we need a strategy here, because I'm still making the same mistake.
Yeah, when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's usually what it takes for me. But I love too what you said about getting alone with the Lord. I think if I spent more time saying, search my heart, you know, search me, O God, and know my heart, see if there's any offensive way in me. If I really took time after I prayed that to sit for a minute and listen, like you were saying, or take time to really hear, I probably could save myself some of that heartache.
And you know, Shelley, I think that's hard because I think that just requires intentionality. It requires effort. Mm-hmm. It requires time. And you know, we just live in a culture where we're just busy all the time.
Right.
And we don't really take time to do that. We might have a, you know, quick little quiet time in the morning, but to really dig and get to the bottom of things, it does take time and energy and effort.
Absolutely. And the willingness to sit and listen. I mean, most of us are so overstimulated that just that sitting still is very hard. I know it is. Yeah. It is for me.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first thing we need to do to make a change is to acknowledge that something needs to change. What is our next step?
I feel like the next step is crucial. Now, if you are a nuts and bolts, get her done kind of person, you might think this is all fluff, but it's not. And that is believe. We have to believe that change is possible and that things will not always be this way. And if we have been dealing with the same issue or the same person or the same whatever for the last few years, sometimes we think that change isn't possible, but today is a new day and change is possible.
Yeah. And I was thinking while you were saying that, I think I need to do a better job of believing that in other people too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like especially in marriage and with my kids and whatever, you know, sometimes it's like, they're never going to change.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're thinking that about me too. It's both ways, but believing God can do this. Yeah.
Really, as we said before, that nothing is too hard for God. There is no habit or there is no heartache that is beyond his power. And here's the thing. I am not the person and you are not the person that is so messed up that we are going to stump the God of the universe. We're not. And we are not the person that has a problem that is too hard that God can't fix. And our struggle, our issue, our temptation is not too hard for God because nothing is beyond his ability. And besides that, change is possible because if we have accepted Christ as our Savior, we have the Spirit of the living God living inside us. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that we just celebrated on Easter, it's that same Spirit that makes the wind blow, that creates solar eclipses and the most stunning nature scenes that you can imagine. It is that same God, that same power that lives inside of us. And Shelley, if he can change the seasons, he can change our sins and our habits and our heartaches.
That is so true. And I think so often we forget exactly what you're saying, that that's what lives in us, that same Spirit of power. If you take a look at scripture, I mean, most of the people he used were so jacked up and so dysfunctional. Yeah. And we just forget that because we see the end product. We see the mighty thing God did and just forget what he had to work with.
And you're like, yes, there's hope for me. There's hope for me.
Right. Yes.
Well, but exactly. I do feel like that we do have an enemy. And unfortunately, he has a plan for our lives and he wants us to feel defeated and he wants us to struggle our entire lives or feel depressed or anxious or feel like we're just never quite going to make it. He wants us to doubt God or to live in fear or to feel insecure, which I struggle with all the time, or really to avoid church or to, he will happily lead us astray and create divisions in our relationships and make us want to quit. But we have to do what 1 Peter 5:8 says, which says, be alert and of sober mind, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. But we don't have to be that someone anymore. We can be a different person.
I love that. And that kind of goes back to what you were talking about seeking the Lord, because I know when I'm busy trying to do things my own way in my own strength, I'm probably making myself a pretty easy target for him.
Same.
Whereas when I'm really plugged in, attuned to God, attuned to what I'm supposed to be doing, you know, it's going to be a little harder for him to get the enemy to sidetrack me from what. Yeah.
But he is certainly trying. He is certainly trying. Yeah.
For sure. For sure.
I'm going to pause the interview here and let you hear the rest of Jody's advice next week in episode number 40. But just to recap, I challenge you to take some time this week to acknowledge maybe just one thing that needs to change in your life for you to be more like Jesus or more productive or more healthy. The thing God's calling you to focus on. When we ask Him to search us and show us, He will. And you can also ask others who are close to you and safe people who want your best self to shine. And then I challenge you to believe that change is possible. Don't make yourself an easy target for the enemy. Stay so closely sheltered under God's feathers that you're untouchable except by Him. In episode number 40, Jody will get into more specifics on how to trade those bad habits and mindsets in for better ones. So I hope to see you there. As always, I'm praying you have an amazing week and see glimpses of God's glory here in the now and the not yet of your unperfect life. See you next time. If you enjoyed today's podcast episode, would you consider posting the link on your social media? You've got street cred with people that I've never even met, and I would love your help in getting these words of encouragement to them. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week.